Welcome, everybody, to the Michigan Trails Report. I'm your host, Tom Funk. And thanks for joining me today as we continue our 50 hikes on Michigan and Wisconsin's North Country Trail. And today we are going to be in the Ontonagon River Valley as we hike 25.7 miles between Victoria Shelter and Forest Road 1100. So I take a moment and thank my friend Adam Main for supplying the bumper music. Thank you, Adam. Welcome to Victoria, where you'll have the opportunity to experience two pieces of Michigan history. Mining exists in this area due to the discovery of the Ontonagon Boulder, a two-ton piece of copper. Native Americans used this boulder for ceremonies for time immemorial. They would actually break off little chunks now and then. And then in 1677, Claude Dablon confirmed the existence of the boulder, and Alexander Henry and later Henry Schoolcraft confirmed the boulder was, in fact, there in later years. However, it was Julius Eldred, an entrepreneur from Detroit. Yeah, someone from Detroit, ruining everything for everybody. He bought it. He paid the local Native Americans $150, and upon returning to move the boulder, he had to pay 10 times that amount as the land underneath the boulder had been purchased. And after several tries, the boulder was moved to Detroit and then eventually in where it is today in the Smithsonian Institute. The boulder brought mining prospectors starting in 1771 with the same Alexander Henry, dubbed the Victoria Mine. The project failed and the area was abandoned, but in 1849 the mining resumed for about 8 years, and then various mining companies sporadically ran it until the end of the century. Records show that about 250 tons of copper were removed from the area. And the funny thing is, remember, the boulder isn't from the area. It actually was dragged down by the glacier. So it was a pure stroke of luck that they found any copper at all in this area. So at the turn of the last century, the Victoria Mine was resurrected when the dam that is currently on the Ontonagon was created to provide power for mining operations, and this drastically reduced the price of extraction, which allowed the current owners of the Victoria Mine to outlast many of its competitors. And unfortunately, when the price of copper bottomed out right after World War I, the mine finally closed for good, and that was in 1921. Now, this old dam was converted into today's Victoria Dam, upgraded in 1929, and now it creates electricity for the local area. Today, it is the Upper Peninsula Power Company. They use the water from the river to create hydropower. The river is dry at this point the vast majority of the time, and there is an interesting view looking across this bare river bottom full of rocks. Now, when the amount of water running through the reservoir exceeds what can be sent through the turbines, the gates will open, the water will flow down into what seems to be a dry river most of the year. This usually occurs in late spring during snowmelt and heavy summer rains, but most of the time it is dry. The lack of water usually allows for a shallow crossing over sometimes slippery rocks. And when the dam is about ready to release its water, an alarm will sound. The river, it's about 100 yards wide or so, which is easily crossed. And after crossing the river, you head right back up the elevation you lost getting down to this point. The hike then becomes a remote section of trail through mature forests and the like. The trail tread is light, however, it is well blazed. You'll also cross three branches of the Ontonagon River, two of which you'll have to ford to cross. Be aware that bear are prevalent in this area, that there are still some significant elevation gains in and out of the Ontonagon River Valley, and that there are no bridges on the Ontonagon River or on its east branch. Logging, well, it's frequent in the area, so be prepared to bushwhack to the nearest road just in case the trail gets obliterated by a logging operation. But so inquire locally about local logging operations. In addition, the area is prone to forest fires, so keep that in mind. Inquire locally about risks. The local trail chapter has recently rolled up their sleeves and resurrected the trail in this segment, allowing even novice hikers to find their way through a very remote area. The west end of the trail is found by driving from Bruce Crossing and the intersection of Michigan 28 and US 45. Take US 45 for 16 miles to the north of Rockland. In Rockland, turn south onto Victoria Dam Road, and you'll descend a steep hill, cross the Onondaga River, ascend to Old Victoria, and park at the Old Victoria town site. There are a couple parking spots there. The east end of the segment is Forest Road 1100. Take Forest Highway 16 north from Kenton for about 16 miles, then turn left or west onto Pori Road. Continue for 3 miles, turning south on Forest Road 1100 to find roadside parking. The trail can also be accessed from US 45 from about 7 miles north of Bruce Crossing, where there is parking. Gardner Road has a parking area as well, which is accessed by taking Gardner Road 13 miles north out of Trout Creek. So this is, it's a remote section. It is easy to find, and there is parking. So now for the hike. So Victoria, this little burb was settled in 1849 because it attracted copper and silver speculators. They came because of the Onondaga Boulder. These speculators left an incredible mess behind, and they disappeared as quickly as they appeared. So what remains is this hydropower dam, and it's been there for years and years and years, along with the town site. Recently, a shelter was built by the North Country Trail volunteers, and this is a deluxe sleeping experience located about 100 yards east of Old Victoria. I personally have stayed in this shelter. If you're hiking west, it's about 50 miles until your next maintained camping facility, so take advantage of this if you can. The North Country Trail descends to Victoria Dam Road at 1.2-mile mark, and you're going to turn right to follow along a north-south gravel road past a closed gate and then over a water pipe on an old bridge to a gravel road. Bend left on the gravel road, then head via a sharp right turn to the powerhouse access road onto the North Country Trail. This will take you to the Dry River Crossing. If you need to bypass the river, take the paved Victoria Dam Road 3 miles to Rockland, head south on US 45 for 2 miles to the intersection with M26, turn south on US 45 and go 6 miles to the Oaken Defiles North Country Trailhead. And the local chapter has this bypass map on their website. So if you go to the website, you're going to see this bypass. And I had to take this bypass when I hiked it in 98. The dry, rock-strewn west branch of the Onondaga Riverbed is at the 2.7-mile mark. And it's just, like I said, a mere trickle of water most of the year. The Victoria Dam diverts the Onondaga River downstream to a power plant for electricity generation. So basically there's a dam, that giant tube that goes downstream. So that's why the riverbed is dry at this point. So crossing the river is easy. Again, there's no water in it. Listen for sirens and watch for slippery rocks, of course. When the water in the reservoir becomes too high, as I mentioned, water is released into the riverbed. So keep your ears open. Check with the Upper Peninsula Power Company for updates, and all should be well. After the mostly dry riverbed crossing, there is a steep hill to climb, but it is level hiking out of the river valley. At 5.6 miles, cross Forest Road 733F. Vehicle access to Forest Road 733F is blocked by a locked gate. In 2 miles, you cross Forest Road 733 itself. The trail between Forest Road 733F and Forest Road 733 is even in elevation, but does have a rocky footing. The trail descends slightly to a reliable water crossing, which is Sandstone Creek, and there's possible bivouac camping sites just west of the creek. Then the trail will head you off to US 45, and you'll be at the 10.1-mile mark. The US 45 parking lot is accessible by a short spur trail. The trail descends about 100 feet in elevation to the Baltimore River Valley. There's another falls along this route that hikers often confuse with the Okun Falls, so be sure to walk another 800 feet to see the larger of the two falls. The trail is well used and is being improved to be handicap accessible from the highway to the falls. This is a very popular waterfall and a popular destination for waterfall seekers, so there's going to be a lot of traffic in this area. The trail parallels the Baltimore River and affords you the view of Okundekun Falls, and you'll be at the 14.5-mile mark at this point. When you see the falls, you should also be able to see the magnificent suspension bridge over the middle branch of the Otanagan River at the 17.7-mile mark. There is a picnic table, a fire ring, and some room to camp, so another good spot to bivouac. From the west, climb to a 1,000-foot plateau, then descend 220 feet to cross an impressive 130-foot-long suspension bridge where there are some more possible campsites to backcountry camp. You'll climb right out of the ravine, and the trail will level off until you cross Forest Road 850 at the 19-mile mark. The trail is a little used, gated forest road. It continues, though, through maturing forest, crossing another old road at the 19.9-mile mark. That leads to private property, so stay on the trail. Continue to hike west through forest towards the east branch of the Otanagan River, which, as of this writing, and as of this time, is still, as far as I know, a bridgeless crossing, but it's been under consideration. I believe it has been put into use. So, looking at the maps, it looks like the bridge is in place. The water in summer and fall is shallow anyway, so, if there is no bridge, it's pretty easy to cross, except for like in the early spring months or after heavy rains. Contact the local Peter Wolf chapter for information regarding water levels on the river. The Otanagan River is, it's a pretty treacherous river for kayakers and canoers. It's full of class 4 and even 5 rapids, so it's not a river you want to mess with. So this bypass route during high water can be found by hiking Gardner Road north and turning onto Mud Creek Road and then heading right or southeast on the defunct Forest Road 884 to pick up the trail again after a 3.8-mile road walk. And what I did is I actually went all the way around to Bob Lake to pick up the trail again. Continue hiking through a relatively flat terrain to Ellis Creek, which is at the 23.8-mile mark, a reliable water source in non-drought years, and a potential backcountry campsite. So again, the easternmost access point is Forest Road 1100, and there is a parking area, and you'll be 25.7 miles into your hike. And this was a two-day hike for me. So this was a long stretch of trail for me to hike with a detour to get around the river. And when I hiked it, the trail just kind of petered out by the river, and there was supposed to be a ladder of all things that you had to climb up and over the tube, and that since has been changed. So now it's more used and it is maintained. All right, there you go. Hike number 36, and our next hike is going to be continuing through the Ottawa National Forest. And it's a rather remote stretch. So join us next time here on the Michigan Trails Report as we share more of the book, 50 Hikes on Michigan, Wisconsin's North Country Trail. All right, thanks a lot, you guys. We'll see you again.